You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca.
Drupper, how you doing?
I'm good, fellas. How are we today?
We are we're doing very well as we get down to the wire in the National Hockey League playoffs. And you see it, you know, some teams that are kind of on life support, there's certain losses that are just gut-wrenching. And I think last night the Winnipeg Jets lose to Carolina, which, you know, opens the door a little bit for the Calgary Flames. They're taking on Arizona, and they lose in overtime. They actually had to score, and I think it was the final 6 minutes to tie that game just to get a point. And it just, when you have 14 overtime losses in a season, you really don't deserve to make the playoffs, do you?
No, you don't. Yeah, that's one that's going to sting. You got a little bit of help in regards to the Carolina Hurricanes doing you the favor and beating Winnipeg, and then you're not able to hold up your end, and it's a game that you should win, really. So, yeah, man, that's tough sledding. It's all of a sudden now you're sitting there, and on the same night, the Nashville Predators take care of business, and you're starting to look at maybe they've got an inside track here. Maybe they've got an opportunity. They got a head-to-head matchup against Winnipeg, I think, coming up here in the next day or two, and it's going to be interesting. I'll tell you this much. When you're watching Nashville play right now, they are spitting fire. Like, they are flying. I think that from them shipping out some players at the deadline, this kind of just prodded this group a little bit, and this group is playing pretty possessed hockey right now, so we'll see how this shakes out. But that's a loss for Calgary, man. That one's going to sting.
How do you feel if you're a Carolina Hurricane? You know, Patrice is your big guy. He comes in. He's double hurt, which sucks. And then Svechnikov. You know, what is the – I know you circle the wagons and all that, but, I mean, there's got to be a little bit of reality set in there for Carolina when you're looking at maybe who you're competing against.
Yeah, I think it's such a – I mean, that's terrible to see. I just think this Carolina team has been trending in the right direction for so long. They're coached very well. Don Waddell's done an incredible job. This is a smaller market team that went out and they made some splashes. I mean, even you can go back. I know it hasn't fully panned out with Koki and Emmy, but just even the gutsy move they made with that too, like kind of getting them out of Montreal there. Then you have what they did in this last year with going out and getting Brent Burns and Patrick Reddy and the moves they made. Like, this is a team that you want to start rooting for, right? And Svechnikov is such a huge piece. And, I mean, already, like you mentioned, Strutty, without having Pacioretty in there, like, this stings. But I just look at it from the standpoint inside that locker room. I think last night's win was a big, big win for morale. They got shut out their last two games. Then you get this awful news with Svechnikov being done. That was a big win against a good team or a team that should be in win-every-game mentality in Winnipeg. I just look at it from this standpoint. And I think there's certain times in your career where you want to be, you're always going to be a good teammate. You always want to be, you know, a proper teammate. But internally, inside your own head, you got to play these little mind games, right? Like, and you got to find ways to be selfish and not selfish outwardly towards everybody else where they think you're an idiot, but you do it internally to motivate yourself. And I think this opportunity now is, you're sitting there, you're like, you've got to be a player on that team saying, yeah, this stinks for our team. We love Svech. But, man, this is an opportunity I've been waiting for. Like, and I've got to take advantage. I got to be ready. I got to be on top of my game. There's going to be opportunities passed out, and I got to make sure I take advantage of mine. Maybe that's Jesse Puljujarvi. Last night, Jack Drury stepped up, got his first goal of the season. Maybe it's Kaki and Emmy getting, you have to take a little more offensive of a role. It sets up to be a challenge for Carolina, but I want to see how they manage it. I mean, it's a big, big hit to them, but inside that room, I mean, you've got to find a way to be ready because your number might be called.
Yeah, I actually had the Hurricanes as one of the losers of the deadline compared to all the other big moves the other teams around them made, and the additions they made, just they don't match up. And the fact that they allowed New Jersey to outbid for them for an extra draft pick, I think that's going to come back to haunt them. The Svechnikov injury obviously makes it infinitely worse for them. But I just that's a few years in a row now for Carolina, and I disagree with their philosophy at the trade deadline. I think they're a team that's been close, and they've yet to ever make a move that's significant at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team at the deadline time that seems to be in on everybody but doesn't really get to close the deal, right? Like, we've heard, and a lot of some of the things are out of their control as far as, you know, I mean, even I thought they were a team that would have been in on the Jonathan Toews sweepstakes, but we know that was kind of shut down because of Toews' health. They're in on Bo Horvat. That didn't work out. They were, you know, Ryan O'Reilly we thought was going to be an option for them. That didn't happen. You know, then it turned into Timo Meier, and then I can agree with that. I can see that. I think this team, though, has been pretty proactive at different stages. But the deadline time, they haven't really pulled the trigger on a big move that can maybe put them over the hump.
Joined by Mike Rupp, talking all things NHL here on the Jason Graves Show on TSN 1260. You know, for a team like the Oilers and a lot of teams in the Pacific here, it's very tight. It's right. It's all bunged up, and you know, you could win a game, you can move up, or you can slide down, and you kind of get a sense about who you're playing. You know, how important is it, you think, for teams to play this out hard and to try to find, you know, their game, so they're rolling into playoffs rather than just kind of worrying about who they're going to play, who they might not play heading into the first round here.
I got I'm going to use that. Bunged out. you know, this is you want to be playing the right brand of hockey down the stretch. I think this could help a team like Edmonton because everything's so tight. It could help any of those teams in the Pacific because, I mean, you're talking, you win three games in a row, four games in a row. I mean, you're sitting pretty. You lose three games in a row, and all of a sudden you're kind of concerned about things. So I think having kind of that extra motivation on a night-to-night basis, it's much better than being a team that's cruising away with your division or cruising away in a situation. I mean, you don't have your playoff spot locked, so that's obviously going to not feel as comfortable. But sometimes, you know, being comfortable is a bad thing in the NHL. So I think these are all good things. They have to play meaningful hockey, and every team wants to get on a bit of a run and get in a good rhythm going into the playoffs. So this could bode well for them.
Mike Rupp joins them to Sports Leader TSN 1260. Mike, the Pacific Division is, you know, it's quite the race. Vegas has given themselves a really good breathing room. You know, LA is really the only one that's close to them at this juncture, 3 points behind. Whereas Edmonton, you know, they're trying to maybe focus on LA more than anything else. But both of those teams have been red hot. Vegas is 13-2-2. Have they surprised you? Are you a big believer in Vegas? Because they've actually, like, and I know they're not better without him, but they've played much better without Mark Stone.
Yeah, I'm not a big believer in Vegas. I haven't really considered them to be a favorite at any stretch this year to come out of the West. But I got to give credit where credit's due. They've been impressive. And they've been impressive the way they've navigated this season. I think they're a very well-coached team with Bruce Cassidy. And I actually think they made some nice moves at the deadline to kind of just fit into what they're looking for and what they're trying to do. So, you know, maybe their style that they play or the sound, kind of the intangibles that they bring on a night-to-night basis will serve them well in the playoffs. But I still think, you know, a healthy Colorado team is a team to beat. And then after that, for me, it's Edmonton and L.A. I think those are the two teams that, if it's not Colorado, it's going to be one of those two. So I don't have them up there, but I'm certainly impressed with how they've been navigating. They've been really good.
Rupper, is it too late for Winnipeg to turn this ship around?
I'm going to say no, because they've got a goaltender that can mask a lot of different things. They've got a roster that I think can be pretty scary to go against in the playoff round. They just got to get in, and they will be a very difficult out, I think, in the playoffs. So no, I don't think so. I mean, it's the wrong time of year to be kind of faltering, but there's still enough time here left where they can. I mean, I've been on teams where you're good all season, and then even the last. You lose three games in a row going into the playoffs, and you're like, oh, man, like, how are we going to just turn this thing on? But on the other stretch, if you win, you can be bad in from games 15 to 5, and then from 5 to the playoffs, you might look really good or feel really good. Now you're sitting pretty or at least feeling that way going into the playoffs. So they're still okay. I like their build of their team. I think that they've tough patch at the wrong time of the year. They've been good for most of the season until now.
Rupper, as we get down the stretch, you know, there's going to be but the potential for some coaching changes in the offseason. I understand why teams haven't done it now. I think teams are in full-on, you know, try to get as close as they can to Bedard, although Columbus, Johnny Gaudreau's 5 points actually put him in the wrong direction for that last night. I know players don't care about it, but organizations definitely do. Do you think if a team wins the Bedard sweepstakes, because when the Oilers won the McDavid sweepstakes, then they fired their coaching staff and Craig McTavish, you know, they made significant changes right after that. Do you think Bedard will have the same impact on an organization? Not that he'll be McDavid, but that they might say, hey, we're going to have to make some changes here.
Ooh, that's interesting. It's a good point because I think most of the times when you're in the sweepstakes for the number one overall pick, especially the way it's formatted now, like you're not a good team. We know this. And then you're going to get a potential game changer as far as a franchise player. So if your team's, you know, if your team kind of already stunk and now you got a player that can change the way you play, you'd have to think that you might want to start a clean slate and go with a new player. So new coach. That does make sense to me. If there's ever a time, I mean, the worst thing you want to do is if you're kind of teetering on that to, you know, keep going with it, and then next thing you know, you burn another year and have another bad year with the said player that's going first overall as part of that mix. So I agree. I think if there's a time to do it, it's probably at that time. And, you know, maybe some of these coaches out there that have some of these jobs right now are sitting there saying, I don't know if we really want this guy because we might change things real abruptly real quick.
Rupper, when you look at you know the general manager, I mean, there's chatter about fights after big hits. Where do you come out on this? I don't think it's a trend. It's been around for a while. But what do you think about this play?
So I just got done on NHL Network just going on a rant about this. I needed a couple drinks of water halfway through it. I feel like this is the most misconstrued, misguided thing to talk about right now. And I guess in me saying that, I've been in 100 fights in the American League and in the NHL. There was not one fight that I didn't agree to be in, right? So the game's changed. It's not the 70s and the 80s, the 90s, where guys are getting jumped and pummeled. And it's a different game. We've gotten to a point. I like where it's at. But with that being said, so just even the phrasing of it that a lot of times we hear is, why do players have to fight for a clean hit? Nobody has to fight ever in the National Hockey League. You don't have to fight. You never have to fight. You're not being, you know, this is not the Wild Wild West. I think at times we see Jacob Trouba, who I personally think probably 90% of his hits are clean, and he answers the bell and fights because I think Jacob Trouba wants to take it another step further. I think he wants that. I think he loves it. Half the time when he lays a hit, his gloves are off before the guy coming at him's gloves are off. So I don't think you have to do anything. But with that being said, like here's a perfect example that happened last night. And I want to use this too. I don't know out in different parts of Canada if you guys have this, but I know in Ontario and certain parts of the United States. Remember when youth hockey, they started putting the stop signs on kids' jerseys, right? And that was so you don't check a kid from behind. It was on the back of their jersey. And so the idea was, all right, you see the stop sign, you can't hit the player here. I like the idea in theory, but then you start getting these players that want to draw penalties for their team. So they start turning their back, and it's actually they got rid of it because it was not really working. Because you had players turning their back saying, you can't hit me here, instead of putting themselves in the right position. So that's one part, and I'll bring this full circle. Last night, 2-0 game, Nashville-Detroit. There's a couple minutes left. And Dante Fabbro ends up getting Dylan Larkin behind the net with a hit. And his top hand on the stick hits Dylan Larkin in the shoulder. Larkin throws his head back like he got hit with a stick in the face, and the referees call it and put the team on the power play. I got no problem with Dylan Larkin doing that. I've done it before. There's certain times in games, certain times in the season, and this is the captain of a team that they have to win basically every game from here on out. And he's trying to draw a penalty to get him back in it. They actually end up scoring. They end up still losing the game, I think, 2-1. But, you know, they score on that power play. My point in that is, if you're going to give players more of an opportunity to draw penalties, think about it from that standpoint. I'm going to sit there and be like, I'm going to light up everybody I can right now because we need a power play. And I'm going to hit everybody. And nobody can do anything about it. And if they do, we're on the power play. Like, I just feel like it's going to become this vehicle of something else. I think it's a slippery slope. And again, that goes back to my original point. No one has to fight. Like, you can hit somebody and not fight. And especially nowadays, I don't think it's looked at as the same way as before. You're not turtling. You know, we don't have players that are just going to start heaving on you and just keep throwing punches. So I don't know. I don't feel like this is really a problem. But, you know, there's a lot of people that probably think it is, and we'll see what they end up deciding.
Rapper, I couldn't disagree with you anymore. I think it's ridiculous. Fighting is down in the National Hockey League. Guys choose when they want to fight. Gone are the days, thankfully, of the players who played 3, 4, 7 minutes and just came over the boards and they'd line up against each other and fight when nothing was really going on. You know, these ones are fights from heavy hits or emotional parts of the game. I like it. I think it's always been a part of hockey that people like. You can watch leagues that like CIS that doesn't have fighting and the stick work becomes too much. And that's at CIS level. You get that in the pros. I just think it'd become even worse. I think it's really a moot point that doesn't even need to be discussed. I don't hear a lot of players complaining about it. So I don't understand why they're worrying about it. I don't really get where the concern comes from here, because if you look at like, Jacob Trouba, big hit on Nazem Kadri. Dylan Dubé came to his. You're Jacob Trouba, you're like, I'll fight Dylan Dubé all day. Right? And Justin Hall hit on Yamamoto. It's Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who doesn't even have 5 career fights, and he did well. But, you know, it's not like it's Mike Rupp and Jason Strudwick coming over at these guys. No offense to any of them. I just don't see the issue here.
Yeah. No, and you know, here's the other part with it, Greg, too. It's. We're talking about deciphering between a clean hit and a dirty hit. And I'd say of any of the fights that I've ever been on the ice where my teammate got hit and I've come to jump in there, half the time I don't even see the hit. I hear the crowd reaction. You know what I'm saying? I hear the crowd reaction, or I see a stick go flying. I see a helmet go off. I'm going to react. And I think most coaches would want their players to at least – if you're going to react one way or the other, I'd rather them just naturally react than not do anything, right? So that's part of it, too. It's like, so what? We're at a point right now, I think the bigger problem for us is, what is actually a good hit and what's not a good hit? What's clean and what's not? Like, we can't even agree on those things right now. So, you know, we're going to sit there and put this on the referees in that moment to be like, oh, that was a clean hit. The only reason why these things happen, we can't even agree on Jacob Trouba's hits when we watch them 94 times on Twitter. Like, we're split on all these. So my point is like, as a player, you're going to react to what happens in the game, and you might not even see it. You might not know if it's clean. You don't care if it's clean. I don't want players taking hard hits on my players, on my teammates. That's just how I am. That doesn't mean everybody has to be that way. If you feel led to go in there and jump in on it, fine. But that player doesn't have to fight you. And I'm not going to call him a wuss. I'm not going to call him anything if he doesn't want to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I just, again, there's so many layers to this. I just think it's something that we're overreacting to right now. I don't think it needs to be touched at all.
Yeah. Well said, Rupper. I agree. Thanks for your time, as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, boys.